They're brothers and sisters in Christ. So here we have in our gospel reading a man born blind. And yet it says it's never seen in the history of the world of someone born blind and suddenly they can see again. But on this Sabbath, Jesus saw him. Now, Jesus had just come from a fight with the Pharisees and Sadducees. He said, "I am." And then they wanted to stone him. So he kind of made himself invisible, comes out, and he sees this man. What mattered really wasn't the man's sight, but that he saw Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus gives blind eyes new sight, but not only physically, but spiritually. See, so Jesus comes to this guy, and he's blind, and the religious leaders also were spiritually blind. They had Jesus right in front of them, and they couldn't recognize this was the Son of God, the I Am, even though he directly told them. He said they hardened their hearts, and they backed off, and they stopped to stone him. The man gets his eyes washed, and suddenly he can see, not just physically, but with faith. Now, his healing was there even with great joy. Quite often people, and back then especially, they said if something happened to you, it was because either you sinned or your parents. That's why bad things happen. You couldn't be that same too. And I'll prove that. Someone breaks into your house, they steal stuff, you come home and go, "Gosh, I should have been here." Or, "Did I forget to lock the back door?" You think of all these ways, because the reality is you don't want to lose control. You want this illusion that you have control over these things. And so, if I can take someone who's born blind and say, "Oh, it's because his parents sinned," that means that I can avoid that, right? It gives me the illusion of control on things we don't have control over. There's a lot of things we don't have control over. That's one of the reasons they do that. "Oh, okay, I wouldn't be born blind. I wouldn't be poor. I wouldn't be homeless." Why? Because those people, look what they did. Yeah, that was exactly, that's exactly right. But it wasn't just the Pharisees. It was also Jesus' disciples. Jesus, why is he born blind? Who sinned? They bought into this cultural idea because that's not taught in Scripture. In fact, the Bible says God does not treat us as our sins deserve. Right? So they focused on the outward appearance, the misdiscovery. Now, it's interesting because Jesus took the dirt, the clay, and spit on it and made a little bit of mud. By the way, did you know that was against the sackcloth? Anybody find that in Scripture? No. They made it up. What people do is, they don't want anybody to break this law, so that they make all these different laws, both of them right and left, and that way if you keep them there, then they can't break the main law, right? But those are all man-made laws. Now they're condemning Jesus because how dare he make mud on the Sabbath? You know what's interesting about that? Is when God formed man, he formed him out of the mud. Put it away, God is reminding us that he is the creator. He takes that mud, he puts it, rubs it in the man's eyes, go wash in the pool of Siloam. See, the man, God is, Jesus is working with him not only to make him see again, but that the glory of God can be communicated. Sometimes we suffer so that the glory of God can be revealed through us. Paul had to do that. Paul says, "I prayed 3 times for this thorn in the flesh to go away." But God said, "No, my grace is sufficient for you." And Paul said, "For when I'm weak, then Christ is strong." So sometimes we're given different challenges in life so that we see Jesus all clearly. And the world can see him. So, his healing was for a greater good, a greater sight, a belief, a witness doing God's work through his confession that Jesus had made. See, that form of the blind man sees Jesus and really truly believes. The religious leaders don't think. They reject him, they justify themselves. And Jesus says, those who do not see, they see. And those who see, they become. It's only those who have done something wrong. It's back up. What do you do? Automatically make excuses. Now, sometimes when people confront you with something wrong, let's be honest. Most of the time, we don't know when we're doing stuff wrong. We just go, right? But the law of God is a mirror. And people hate it when you preach the law. Especially, I'll tell you what, I say something, by the way, I'm more than anybody else. But you say something that they don't like, they feel condemned, and now they're mad at the pastor. Yeah. I was, one time I was preaching, and I said, you know, there's a couple things that are sin. Being overweight, sin. Smoking is a sin. It hurts your body. The man got up and all of a sudden, how dare you? No one's going to lecture me on that. I'll smoke if I want to. Right? I had that when I was 2 months later. Yeah, I did that. Get on. You know? These things happen, but people don't want to hear the truth. Okay? We do that too. Pastor, you're not acting the way you should. Yeah, probably. You mean it's fun. The law is a mirror. The law produces fear. Jesus shows them, I am the Son of God. But if you're the Son of God, then all our temple rituals, all the things we've been doing is all gone. So they hunkered down. They've got to reject you. How dare you, you know, Son of God, who's promised to do these things. But Jesus comes in and breaks our eyes. He gives us, takes our old eyes and gives us new eyes of faith. Not fixed on purpose or feelings or whatever the case may be that we're stuck on. Instead of justifying ourselves, we acknowledge, I am poor, miserable sinner. We need the light of God to shine in our life in every aspect. And the biggest thing we need, when we confess our sins, we realize that the light shines in Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy you set before him, endured the cross, enduring the shame so that you and I can have everlasting life. He recreates us with his word and spirit and moves us through faith. So he says, in a way, go wash in Shiloh, the sent ones. Where do we get the sent? That is the disciples, right? God sent them out into the world to proclaim to us the holy word in his scripture. So we come to God and we listen to the word of God in the Bible. We let that shine the true light of God into our hearts and our minds. And when we think of baptism, think of the washing of water and word, just as the Spirit of God came upon Jesus during baptism, so the Spirit of God came upon you in baptism, creates faith in your life, and declares that you are his child. You are born again. Not of the world, of the blind world, but of the seeing world that knows Jesus Christ is your Savior. New eyes, faith in the Son of Man. Seeing his Savior is the cross, the word. Yes, even in the bread and wine that you participate in the body and blood of Christ. With new eyes, we see it. I couldn't get the name of this lady. I saw it on TV a long time ago when I looked it up. But as this pastor tells about it, and I guess he wanted to keep her name anonymous, so we don't have the name. But as this woman, she worked for a hotel. A black lady, worked at a hotel, she lost her job. Now she finds herself on welfare, she's going to church, she's taking her kids, and suddenly probably someone says to the church, when are you going to kind of leave and get a real job? Well, she talked to her pastor goes, well, you know, you made me these great cookies one time, why don't you still make some cookies? And he goes, and then pass them around, and then see people like them. They like them and try to sell some. Which she did. She made this cookie, people loved it, she started packing them, her bags, selling them, and to make a long story short, made a company, she ended up selling it for $1 million. Now, can't guarantee that if you follow God's law, that he's going to give you $1 million. Some of us shouldn't have $1 million. My dad had a guy named Ray, and he worked for him, and Ray thought he was going to come into a whole lot of money. The trouble was Ray was also an alcoholic. He thought he was going to get this inheritance. And my dad said, that'd be the worst thing for you. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, if you get that money, you will sit at home and you will do nothing but drink. You won't work. You'll be dead in a minute. Pretty quick. in the story was that all that money he thought he was going to get, he got very little. There's not almost nothing left. Maybe a few bucks, you know. But my dad was right. Sometimes God withholds blessings from us because he actually knows what's best. And if we follow the light of Jesus, what is this world to me? Jesus is my treasure. So we want to look past just appearances of suffering, and we want to look at what's true, not temporal. Because we become God's work. We walk in the light of Jesus. So let's look beyond this life's darkness. Let's consider the suffering, the ultimate healing, as God's preparing us for everlasting life. With blue eyes, let's look at the light of the world to come. Now,